factor for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. Happy Friday, TGIF. Unfortunately, Juliet is not with us today, but fortunately for her, she is enjoying Italy. That means you're stuck with me for the next 90 minutes. Not just me, though. Don't worry. Joe Nolan has traffic. Christian and Gabby are here to keep me honest. Christian will also be sitting in for Sid Rosenberg. Dead Valentine has all the latest headlines. And Joe Nolan's got traffic. David Wildstein from the New Jersey Globe is going to join us in our New Jersey Newsmaker segment at 5:30. He's got some really interesting stories that he's covering, including the governor's race in the state of New Jersey, which is turning out to be pretty interesting. And even though Juliet is not here, we are still going to do the Jet Set Juliet travel report, only with Eric Hastings, Eric the travel guy. But there are a ton of stories in the news, and boy, oh boy, are we going to tell you about them. First and foremost, the CDC is meeting next week to review more than 300 cases of heart inflammation in children and young adults. The cases are all said to be rare and were reported after COVID vaccinations. It's unclear if that's the reason, but the CDC says evidence of a possible link is growing stronger. An advisory group plans to look over research and safety data. They are not expected to recommend any vaccination changes. And police in Arizona are trying to find out why a gunman went on a 90-minute shooting spree in several cities near Phoenix. Police believe he acted alone, and they're still sorting out the charges. The suspect was arrested yesterday afternoon after at least 8 separate drive-by shootings. 4 people in all were shot, and one of them was found dead on a freeway. 9 others suffered injuries as well, ranging from shrapnel to a car crash. A former NSA deputy director is now confirmed to be the first White House national cyber director. The Senate unanimously voted for Chris Inglis yesterday. He's the first to serve in the position, enacted into law late last year. The new role will play a key part in coordinating the government response to major hacks and other cybersecurity threats. This comes after President Biden signed an order in May to boost federal cybersecurity. This was also one of the items on the agenda when President Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin had their summit this week. Clearly, cybersecurity is not just an American problem. It's a worldwide problem. And it's things like that hack of the pipeline that make you realize and appreciate how vulnerable so many American institutions are to a cyber hack and how vulnerable all of us are on an individual basis to a cyber hack. We're going to get into it a little bit later throughout the course of the morning. At 5:07, though, time for traffic and transit on the 7s. And let us say hello to Joe Nolan. Good morning, Joe. Happy Friday.
Good morning, sir. Happy Friday. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. What do you got planned for Father's Day this weekend?
I'm going to my son Brad's house, see my little granddaughter, and just hang out there. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That's nice.
Yeah, he has a pool, so when he's got this kick, you know what, smoker in the backyard.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
A lot of meat.
So what are you going to be cooking or smoking?
He is. I don't know. He usually does a really good brisket. So
very interesting.
All right. Turnpike northbound outer. All lanes are closed. Maintenance there. That'll continue on the Staten Island Verrazano Bridge. Staten Island bound lower level Verrazano Bridge. All lanes are closed. Again, that also with maintenance. Now, an accident down the Jersey Shore southbound south of exit 98. There is a collision there. That's being cleared. Now, mass transit, everybody there right on or close to schedule and alternate side again today is in effect. This report of service of UPSjobs.com. Ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you earn up to $20 an hour in an active job that you'll take pride in. Enjoy big-time growth opportunities with Team UPS. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Saddlebrook. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe. A construction worker in California is charged with manslaughter after crashing his truck into three people. A woman and two men were sitting outside a bar and got pinned against the wall. The woman died, and the other two suffered serious leg injuries. A police report says the driver was allegedly drunk, high, and receiving oral sex when he backed his truck into the group. He told police he didn't even remember the actual crash. Amazon shoppers, get ready. Prime Day starts on Monday, but early deals are out now and more will drop this weekend. The tech giant says this will be its biggest year for savings with 2 million markdowns. It's already slashed prices on a slew of products. Some examples include Echo Buds for $80, a Halo Fitness Band for $70, half off Amazon Fire TV devices, 40% off Ring devices, and 20% off exercise equipment. And someone is shelling out big bucks for shoes signed by basketball legend Michael Jordan. A pair of Air Jordan 1s sold this week for almost, listen to this, $205,000. The auction site says the sneaker is labeled as a sample and has never been worn. It adds the NBA Hall of Famer signature is displayed on the right sneaker tongue and was signed when Jordan is a rookie. I must say, I don't understand this at all. I would guess that the same person that would spend $205,000 for a signed pair of sneakers is probably the same person who's spending $28 million to fly to space for 11 minutes. As he has done many times before, daredevil Nick Wallenda has completed another successful high wire walk. Wallenda was at a college in Buffalo to help mark the grand opening of the school's new health professions hub building. Wallenda was walking multiple stories above the street and ended up traveling 320 feet on a wire that wasn't even 1 inch wide. He did have a tether on for the stunt, much like he did when crossing Niagara Falls several years ago. Coming up in our newsmaker segment, we're going to chat with David Wildstein, the editor of the New Jersey Globe. Coming up in our Jet Set Juliet travel segment, we're going to talk with Eric Hastings, the travel guy. We're going to have sports with Christian Arnold in just a few minutes. And we're going to have traffic and transit every 10 minutes on the 7s. But first, Texas Congressman Henry Cuellar is skeptical about the state's plan to build a border wall. The Democrat claims the wall is a 14th century solution to a 21st century problem and says it won't stop illegal immigrants from making the journey from Central America. Cuellar says President Trump was able to build only about 50 miles of new fencing, so Governor Greg Abbott faces an uphill battle. He says the Biden administration isn't going to waive any environmental regulations, which will hold up the project for a long time. A British man is getting his giant kidneys removed. The BBC says 54-year-old Warren Higgs of Windsor has a disease that causes cysts to develop in his kidneys. His doctors say his kidneys are 5 times bigger than they should be. His left kidney is 16 inches long and 10 inches wide. His right kidney is about 20 inches long and 11 inches wide. It could be a new record. His doctors believe Warren Higgs' kidneys could weigh 3 times more than the current record holder, a 16-pound kidney removed in India. An operation to remove the kidneys is scheduled for next month. It is 65 degrees at 5:12 on the WABC Early News. The United States Mint is adding to the list of women to be featured on quarters. Recently, the Bureau announced Wilma Mankiller, Adelina Otero Warren, and Anna May Wong will be highlighted in the American Woman Quarters program. Others being represented are Maya Angelou and Dr. Sally Ride. The coins are set to be released next year. Here's a fascinating story for those of us that are interested in the unexplained and ancient life. Fossils from two gigantic rhinos dating back 22 million years ago have been discovered in China. The study published yesterday says the ancient rhinos were much larger than modern rhinos and often stood at more than 20 feet tall at the shoulder and weighed more than 20 tons. None of the rhinos had horns on their noses because rhinoceros horns were not adapted until much later. The giant species were larger than mammoths, making them the largest land animal that ever lived. Can you imagine? The largest land animal that ever lived was a rhinoceros. A new species of frog is getting a whole lot of love after being named in honor of legendary rock band Led Zeppelin. Two scientists discovered the tiny frog species last year in Ecuador's Andes Mountains, which translated the name of the species is Led Zeppelin's rain frog. The duo who discovered the species believes the amphibian can only be found in a remote area near the Peruvian border, and they advocate for the new species to be protected. A man in Nebraska is jumping into the record books, and he's doing so with no clothes on. KOLN-TV reporting that Ryan Caniff skydived 60 times in 24 hours naked. Prior to the attempt, Guinness World Records informed Caniff that the feat would be recorded if 25 jumps were made. The skydiver performed the accomplishment while raising money for the Movember Foundation. It's unclear if Guinness officially recognized the effort. We'll be following that story, and as well as all the other naked record attempts that I'm sure you're particularly eager to hear about. Well, speaking of people that are not quite naked, let me get a look at sports with Christian Arnold. What's happening, Christian?
Oh, well, thank you for that introduction, Frank. A rough night for New York's two playoff teams. We'll start in Milwaukee, where the Bucks forced a Game 7 against the Brooklyn Nets, defeating them 104-89. Kevin Durant leading the way for the Nets with 32 points in the loss. James Harden providing 16 points of his own. Game 7 is back here in New York at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn on Saturday. A win would advance the Nets to the Eastern Conference Finals. Out on Long Island, it's starting to feel like Groundhog Day. The Islanders playoff series continuing to stay, to follow a similar formula. They split the first two games of the series against Tampa Bay, and then they lost Game 3 against the Tampa Bay Lightning at the Nassau Coliseum last night in the form of a 2-1 loss. The Islanders' only goal came from Cal Clutterbuck, who scored in the second period. Semyon Varlamov made 23 saves. Game 4 is Saturday back on Long Island at the Coliseum. The Yankees, they get a win off a Giancarlo Stanton hit, a go-ahead home run in the seventh inning as the Yankees doubled up the Blue Jays 8-4 up in Buffalo. The Yankees also turned their second triple play of the season in the first inning. It's the first time in franchise history that New York has turned two triple plays in 1 year, which is a pretty impressive feat. Chad Green getting the win out of the bullpen. New York finishing the three-game sweep, and they are 36-32. The Mets, not as lucky yesterday. They fall to the Cubs 2-0 in Queens. You had Marcus Stroman with a pretty good start, striking out 8 and 2 runs, but giving up 2 runs in 7 frames for the Mets. New York won 6 of its last 8 games, while the Cubs snapped a 3-game slide. New York is 35-36. Some good news from the Mets, though. Jacob deGrom, his MRI for his right shoulder injury is coming back clean, according to the team, so that's definitely good news. On tap tonight, the Mets play again, they're in Flushing they're in Washington against the Nationals. The Yankees, they're at home. They take on the Athletics at the stadium with a full capacity crowd for the first time in the Bronx at Yankee Stadium. With sports at 15:45, I'm Christian Arnold for the 77 WABC Early News.
Thank you, Christian. At 6:17, let's check in with traffic and transit on the sevens with the one and only Joe Nolan. How's it looking, Joe?
Good. That triple play last night looked like a high school game.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was something like whatever happened when you're playing high school baseball. Guys running all over the place. All right, Turnpike northbound, outer roadway. All lanes are closed. Again, that for maintenance. Same thing, Staten Island bound for Horizontal Bridge. Lower level closed again with maintenance. Now, on the Garden State Parkway, southbound, south of 98, there is an accident down there that is also in the process of being cleared. A lot of activity along with it, so just be aware of that. Also on the Bruckner, this was a mess yesterday. In fact, it's been all week. On the southbound side between the Sheridan and 149th Street, there are car delays because of emergency construction. It's been there since last week, and it continues. Mass Transit, though, is in pretty good shape. And now a new one here. Hold on. Disabled tractor trailer. This is southbound on the New Jersey Turnpike on the outer roadway at Interchange 14. So a disabled tractor trailer and alternate side of the street. Parking rules and regulations again today are going to be in effect. I'm Joe Nolan. Traffic on the 7s. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Coming up, we're just a couple of days from a very, very big election, and it's not just one. I'll tell you the election you want to hear about and the election you might not know about right after this.
This is the WABC Early News.
520, it is 65 degrees this Friday morning. Hopefully you've got something fun in store this Father's Day weekend. Let me tell you what's happening in the world of business. The opening bell rings this morning as the trading week starts to wind down on Wall Street. Yesterday at the closing bell, things were pretty much a mixed bag. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 210 points to 33,823. The S&P 500 lost nearly 2 points to 42,21. And the NASDAQ rose 121 points to 14,161. Amazon says Prime Day 2021 will have the biggest number of deals in the event's seven-year history. Wow. The e-commerce giant released a preview of deals just days ahead of the shopping extravaganza. It will include more than 2 million deals with markdowns on Amazon devices, electronics, fashion, cookware, and much more. Amazon says teachers and students can also get a head start on school supplies with the launch of its back-to-school storefront. This year's Prime Day starts on June 21st. In other news, we are keeping an eye on this story involving a teenager who was unfortunately dead after a fight over a parking spot in Brooklyn. Police say 15-year-old Tori Lovick was stabbed in the chest in front of 168 Decatur Street around 2:30 yesterday afternoon. He was taken to a nearby hospital where he later died. Police have taken a 48-year-old man into custody but have not released his name. Police are releasing, though, footage of the man who allegedly used a rock to bash the heads of two strap hangers in Brooklyn. On Monday morning, the suspect allegedly picked a fight with a 35-year-old victim on a northbound F train at the Smith and President Street station. Police say the suspect took out a rock he had been carrying with him, hitting one man and then striking a 52-year-old man who happened to be sitting near them. The 35-year-old was taken to the hospital while the 52-year-old was treated on scene. Officials are revealing what killed a bear that turned up dead on Staten Island earlier this week. The New York Department of Environmental Conservation says they believe the 2-year-old bear was hit by a vehicle, causing blunt force trauma to his head. The bear was found in a parking lot behind a dollar store in New Springville Monday morning. The DEC says it's still investigating the matter. Well, if you're a federal worker, you have off today. If you're a state worker, you have off today. But if you're a city worker, you are working today. Even though Juneteenth is now a federal holiday, New York City has yet to recognize it. Mayor Bill de Blasio previously promised to make it one, but city workers won't be getting holiday pay this year due to complications. The city would need to negotiate with unions in order to locally recognize it, even though the state recognizes it as a holiday for its employees. Juneteenth marks the very day in 1865 when remaining slaves in Galveston, Texas, were notified the Civil War was over, more than 900 days after President Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. The New York City Council is moving to reform regulations for restaurants, bars, and nightclubs. The council has approved a bill that would allow inspectors to educate small businesses and give them a chance to fix violations before hitting them with huge fines. Another bill would significantly reduce the fines small businesses received during the coronavirus pandemic. New York City Hospitality Alliance Director Andrew Riggi says these bills will have a major positive impact on restaurant owners while also urging Mayor de Blasio to sign it. New York City officials are celebrating the return of Summer Stage. Jazz music filled Central Park last night after more than a year of silence because of the coronavirus pandemic. Community leaders and elected officials were on hand to mark the milestone, with Mayor de Blasio declaring New York City is back, summer stage set to hold more than 20 free concerts this summer. In New Jersey Transit is changing its mask mandate to line up with CDC guidelines. The agency says masks don't need to be worn on outdoor platforms or at bus stops. Riders will still need to cover their faces while on trains and buses or if they're waiting for their ride inside a station. New Jersey's also bolstering police programs focused on connecting with kids. State Attorney General Gerber Graywall announced $165,000 from federal funds will be allocated for initiatives to advance community policing. He's encouraging police departments and nonprofit community-based organizations to submit applications with the opportunity to be granted up to $16,500. 525, it is 65 degrees on the WABC early news. And some good news for those of you that are baseball fans. New York's Yankee Stadium is opening to 100% capacity today. You can bet Christian Arnold's going to have more for you on that when he does sports. But certainly a sign that New York is very much back. All right. Well, the mayor's race is Tuesday. Well, at least the Democratic and Republican primaries for mayor are Tuesday. That's the final day of voting. Early voting is in place this weekend, and you can call 311 or 212-VOTE-NYC to find your early voting location. But so far, it appears about 70,000 New York City residents have already voted. You can vote this weekend. The final day to vote is Tuesday, the 22nd. A lot of people wondering who Mayor de Blasio is supporting for mayor. It's been speculated that he may be supporting Eric Adams. But in comments he's made this week, Mayor Bill de Blasio says he's not impressed with anyone in last night's, actually the debate two nights ago, involving eight Democrats looking to take his job as mayor. De Blasio says there has not been clear enough vision by the candidates and calls last night a wasted opportunity and uninspiring. He says it's painful to listen to candidates call for initiatives that he's already doing. De Blasio still has not made up his mind on who he's voting for in the race for mayor. The primary election, the final day of voting, is Tuesday. At 5:27, let's check in with Joe Nolan, who's got traffic and transit on the 7s. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Frank. As you head southbound on the drive at 79th Street, unauthorized truck now. Center lane going to be out of service. Of course, trucks don't belong on parkways in New York State. If you're on the Staten Island bound for on a lower level, all lanes are closed. That for maintenance. Jersey Turnpike, northbound outer roadway closed for maintenance. And on the southbound Jersey Turnpike at Interchange 14, again, outer roadway, a disabled tractor trailer. That one off on the shoulder. Now, if you're on the Sprain southbound, we're slow at 100B with a collision and alternate side is in effect. The support service of Indeed.com. Not to be a backseat driver, but if you need to hire great people fast, you need Indeed. Sponsor a job and you'll immediately get a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. More at Indeed.com/credit. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Coming up in just a minute, some lawmakers are tired of masks. Who could blame them? We'll be back with more on the WABC Early News. But here with all the latest headlines you need to know, here's Deborah Valentine.
From around the world to around the block, this is your 77-second news update from the RSCSolutions.com news desk on WABC.
I'm Deborah Valentine. With a stroke of a pen, President Joe Biden yesterday made June 19th or Juneteenth a national holiday. It's the 12th in the United States. Both the president and Vice President Kamala Harris say this is cause for celebration, but there's more work to do.
We have come far, and we have far to go.
President Biden, during yesterday's ceremony,
the truth is, it's not simply not enough just to commemorate Juneteenth. After all, emancipation of enslaved black Americans didn't mark the end of America's work to deliver on the promise of equality.
And a tropical storm warning in effect for parts of Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida. Forecasters say this system is expected to bring heavy winds and rains. A two-way dedicated bike lane is planned now for the Brooklyn Bridge. State Senator Kevin Kavanaugh represents voters on both sides of that span.
It's very exciting that we are allocating some real space, some real road space for a two-way bikeway across the bridge.
And the bridge will close Monday night at 9 o'clock for bikeway construction. And the mayor said yesterday that construction is expected to be done in the fall. Well, Connecticut is on its way to legalizing recreational marijuana for adults. Governor Ned Lamont expected to sign revised legislation into law allowing limited amounts of cannabis for those 21 and older. Best-selling Fire and Fury author Michael Wolff, he's out with a new book about the final days of the Trump White House. It's called Landslide, and it goes on sale on July 27th. That's your WABC 77-second news update. Now your forecast from the Ramsey Subaru Weather Center. A mostly sunny day today, our highs 82. There's a 40% chance of a shower or thunderstorm overnight towards daybreak, the low 69. Partly sunny Saturday, the highs 85, winds to 13 miles per hour. Still a 30% chance of a pop-up shower or thunderstorm during the day Saturday. Mostly sunny on Sunday, the high 86. That's your forecast from the Ramsey Subaru Weather Center. From the RSCSolutions.com news desk, where Mark Arzamanian will put you to work, I'm Deborah Valentine. A traffic and transit report is next, where the news never stops, at WABCRadio.com.
The rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
5:31. It is 65 degrees. This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano. Juliet Huddy is not with us today. She won't be with us for the next week. She is in Italy. I'm sure she's having a good time. But this show does try to bring you all the latest news you need to know. And on a local level, that is becoming tougher and tougher to find. The news this week that the Wall Street Journal is discontinuing its New York news coverage comes as a punch in the gut to those of us that enjoy learning about local news. I'll tell you one area which is very well served in both print and on the radio with news coverage, and that is New Jersey. And that is largely due to the efforts of our next guest, this morning's newsmaker. He is the editor-in-chief of the New Jersey Globe, and he is the host of the New Jersey Globe Power Hour every Saturday afternoon at 4 p.m., a show that I listen to just about every week, David Wildstein. David, thank you so much for joining me on the radio.
Good morning, Frank. Thanks for having me.
David, I have to tell you, I've known of you for years by reputation, because before you were in journalism, you were a bigwig in the world of New Jersey politics. But I got to tell you, I listen to your show every Saturday at 4 now, and I was just absolutely captivated at the story you told about, I think it was the former mayor, I don't remember the community, but of, it might have been Bayonne, about the manner in which he would eat pizza.
West New York, yeah.
West New York, that was it, and how he would have meetings in a swimming pool to avoid being bugged. And that is the kind of stuff that you can really only hear about listening to your show. So kudos for just doing a stellar job.
Thank you very much. I love the history stuff, so I try and weave in as much as I can.
Oh, you certainly do. Now, you had a great interview last week with the Republican nominee for governor, Jack Cittarelli. He's on to the general election, where he's going to face off against Phil Murphy. I know it's 5 months away, but how does the general election look at this point, this Cittarelli-Murphy matchup? Is it going to be competitive from what you can tell?
So races for governor are always competitive in New Jersey. Whether it's going to be competitive or will it get there, you know, I don't know yet. It's still very early. But what you've got in this race are two decent men. They're not bad guys. They just have very different visions on how to lead New Jersey over the next 4 years. And I hope the people of New Jersey, you know, as you just talked about, the print media is dwindling. And I hope that New Jerseyans have a chance to learn as much as they can about these two candidates and make an informed decision about who they want to lead them, who's best fit to lead them.
Well, that is for sure. Do you have any idea what you're going to be focused on tomorrow on the tomorrow on the New Jersey Globe Power Hour?
So tomorrow I'm going to be talking about these political campaigns, now a week past the primary, trending into the general election, what the Murphy campaign did this week, what the Cittarelli campaign did this week, where they're going. Probably going to talk to an analyst. And then next week, I'm excited. Next week, I've got Governor Murphy coming on. And this will have put the two gubernatorial candidates a week apart on the New Jersey Globe Power right. Hour to start to really press them on specifics.
Now, an issue that I've been following for a long time in New York and really around the country is the issue of gerrymandering and the issue of redistricting in general. What is happening with respect to congressional redistricting in New Jersey? I think there are only two Republicans left in the state of New Jersey. Is there any chance that the Democratic legislature could draw those seats into oblivion?
Well, in New Jersey, they've got what's called a bipartisan commission. If anything is really bipartisan anymore, it's six Democrats and six Republicans, and then the Supreme Court of the state is going to appoint a tiebreaker. And their job is to try and come up with a compromise map, but it's a lot more than that right now, with just five House seats separating Democrats and Republicans in Washington. There's a lot of pressure on New Jersey from both sides to pick up seats. Nancy Pelosi doesn't want to lose any. In fact, I think she'd like to see if her party can get them a map that maybe adds one. I think that's virtually impossible to go from 10-2 to 11-1. Democrats, I think nationally, the Republicans would be happy to pick up one. But there's a bunch of districts that are competitive, and there's a lot of jiggling.
Well, it certainly is going to be very interesting. I understand both the Democratic and Republican parties of New Jersey have new state chairs. I know I'm familiar with the Republican state chair, Bob Hugin.
Yes.
What do we know about what he has planned as he takes over the reins of the GOP, and who is the new Democratic state chair?
So Bob Hugin ran for U.S. Senate 3 years ago. He spent $45 million of his own money. He now gets New Jersey politics, you know, the good, the bad. He understands it, and he's a very good fundraiser, and what he can't raise from other people, he may put in himself. So that was Cittarelli's strongest pick. Hugin had been courted by him for months, and now he's about to take the job. The Democratic chairman is Leroy Jones. He's the Essex County Democratic chairman, the chairman of the county that delivers the greatest margin in a statewide race for Democrats. He's a smart, nuts and bolts politician, used to be a state legislator, class act all the way. So you've again sort of mirroring the governor's race. You've got two strong leaders running the state party, and they're going to be aimed at winning.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how things turn out. I'll be listening tomorrow afternoon at 4 p.m. Hope folks tune into the New Jersey Globe Power Hour. Thank you, David Wildstein.
Thank you, Frank. It's always a pleasure to speak to you.
The pleasure is mine. Have a great weekend and happy Father's Day. David Wildstein, 5:37. It is always a treat to be able to talk traffic and talk turkey every 10 minutes on the sevens with Joe Nolan. Good morning, Joe.
I always like a good turkey.
You're a turkey guy?
I love turkey.
I have to be honest. I find turkey to be one of the more overrated foods in society. Yeah. You'd never go to a restaurant and order a turkey, right?
No,
I mean,
no.
It's a kind of – that's basically what Thanksgiving is. It's a collection of foods that you would never order at a restaurant, right? You go to a restaurant. You order a pork shoulder. You order a veal piccata. You
right.
order, you know, a lobster thermidor. You would never say, oh, yeah, give me a turkey. The waiter says, you want dark meat or white meat? You'd never do that at a restaurant.
No, never, ever.
How the roads looking, Joe?
Southbound of the drive at 79th Street. Earlier unauthorized truck. That's in the process of being cleared. Staten Island Verrazano lower level. Again, that's closed for maintenance. Same thing on the outer roadway of the Jersey Turnpike heading northbound. Now on the outer roadway coming southbound, Interchange 14, a stalled tractor trailer. That one off on the shoulder. And we also have a problem on the Springbrook northbound now right around the area of 100B. There's an accident that's being cleared. Mass Transit in good shape. Alternate side again today is in effect. I'm Joe Nolan. Traffic on the 7, Stock Radio 77, WABC.
Coming up in just a bit, one mayoral candidate just got a couple of million bucks. I'll tell you who it was. This is the WABC Early News, straight ahead.
This is the WABC Early News.
This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano. We will do, even in the absence of Juliette Huddy, a Jet Set Juliette travel segment in just a minute. But first, let me tell you what's happening in the world of business. Mixed day on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow Jones dropped 210 points. The S&P 500 lost 2 points. And the Nasdaq rose 121 points. Bank of America is planning to have all vaccinated workers back in the office after Labor Day. CEO Brian Moynihan said more than 70,000 employees have voluntarily reported their vaccine status to the company. He said they will operate fairly normally after September 6th. Car maker BMW is beginning to test vehicles powered by hydrogen. The German company explained this week prototypes of the BMW Hydrogen Next would be tested on European roads. They'll be testing the car on a range of metrics, including reliability, safety, and efficiency. They said the hydrogen fuel cell technology could become an alternative for those who don't want a battery-powered electric motor or for those who frequently drive long distances. BMW hopes testing will lead to the production of a small series model by 2022. Well, it's that time. This time of the morning, we generally get a Jet Set Juliette travel update, and I will not leave you travel addicts jonesing for a fix. Here to help satiate you is the managing editor and host of Beyond Your Backyard, an Emmy Award-winning nationally syndicated series on PBS, and a former WABC talk show host and producer, Eric Hastings. Eric, good morning, my friend.
Good morning. Daddy's got your travel medicine, Frank.
You do indeed. Eric, let's begin with the issue that would be most of interest to someone like Juliette, and that's airline travel. What's happening with respect to airline travel? Has it gotten back to normal? What do people need to know?
Well, those are loaded questions, and frankly, we don't have enough time to answer all of them. But I can tell you that the airlines are doing their part to help integrate this information that we're going to need to disclose in order to step on board an airplane. For instance, Delta Airlines and Virgin, they've got a new tool called Delta Fly Ready or Virgin Fly Ready. It's going to be available to customers to help manage testing requirements later on this summer. They've been testing it in Atlanta from Atlanta to Heathrow. With Fly Ready, passengers are able to schedule COVID tests, verify test results, and confirm that they meet the necessary requirements for entry to a destination. So they're certainly on the case.
A lot of folks love cruise travel. My friend Vinny Ignizio is a big cruiser, but the cruisers got dealt a little bit of a setback this week when there was some news of a COVID outbreak on a cruise ship. What's the short-term future of cruising?
Short-term future is unknown. Long-term future is known in terms of, well, cruising will return to normal at some point. Yes, you're right. Celebrity Cruises announced last week two passengers on the first North American cruise since 2020 tested positive for COVID-19. But Frank, the interesting part about that story is that every passenger on that sailing was fully vaccinated. So there's still obviously a lot that we don't know. Royal Caribbean also announced the debut of their new ship Odyssey of the Seas is going to be delayed until the end of July due to a coronavirus outbreak among the crew members. So a little bit of bad press there for the cruise industry, at least in the short term.
Eric, a lot of people may be looking to do a summer trip to some national parks. What are the rules like for national parks these days? What are the national parks that might definitely be worth checking out?
So, you know, those in the know that, of course, there are, 63 national parks in the United States. The National Park Service manages some 400 different locations around the country. And the good news, Frank, the national parks are full.
Wow. Well, that's encouraging. And it certainly seems with a lot of outdoor stuff that that's a pretty safe option.
Well, it is. And the rules for visiting, in all seriousness, of course, they're not 100% full. But as you can imagine, with increased demand, National Park Service is saying, look, if you really are thinking about visiting one of these parks, please plan ahead. Make as many advanced reservations as you can. The best resource for national parks is the National Park Service government website, nps.gov.
I like your first answer, that national parks are full.
Well, they are because, well, Frank, I told you, we made that video on all 63 national parks, yeah. And apparently, thanks to your listeners, they watched that video, and they all went there, and now they're full.
Outstanding. You want more travel tips, go to erikthetravelguy.com. That's E-R-I-K, thetravelguy.com. Check out Eric Hastings on Beyond Your Backyard. Thank you, my friend.
As Have a good always, weekend. Thank you, sir.
And happy Father's Day. 5:45, time for sports with Christian Arnold in for Sid Rosenberg.
Well, thank you, Frank. A lot to get to here in the world of sports. We'll start with the two New York teams in the playoffs. Unfortunately for the Nets, they're going to a Game 7. Milwaukee topping them 104-89 in Game 6 in Milwaukee. Kevin Durant leading the way for the Nets with 32 points in the loss. James Harden putting up 16 of his own. Game 7 is on Saturday at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. The Nets, they would go to the Eastern Conference Finals if they win. Out on Long Island, it was a rough evening for the Islanders. They dropped Game 3 at the Nassau Coliseum 2-1. Cal Clutterbuck scoring the only Islanders goal in the loss. Semyon Varlamov made 23 saves, in the loss as well for the Islanders. Game 4 is at the Nassau Coliseum on Saturday. The Yankees, they pick up a win 8-4 over the Blue Jays in Buffalo. Giancarlo Stanton hitting the go-ahead home run in the 7th inning for the win. The Yankees now 36-32. The Mets, they have a rough evening against the Chicago Cubs in Flushing, Queens. They fall 2-0 to the Cubs. A little U.S. Open action going on. Darkness suspended the first round of the U.S. Open yesterday with 36 golfers still out on the course. Russell Henley and Luis Oosthuizen, they are tied for first at -4. So that'll be interesting to keep track of. Tonight in action, Major League Baseball, the Mets, they take on the Nationals in Washington. The Yankees, they host the Oakland Athletics at the stadium in the Bronx. Full house there. First time this season that there will be full capacity at Yankee Stadium, which is exciting. Sports is brought to you by Peerless Boilers. They build America's best boilers. PavilionTankless.com, PeerlessBoilers.com. With sports, I'm Christian Arnold for the 77 WABC Early News.
5:47, time for traffic and transit on the 7s. Here's Joe Nolan.
All right, Frank, we're going to start on the Spray northbound at 100B. There's a collision there being cleared on the southbound Bronx River Parkway. At Pelham Parkway, an accident. That also in the process of being cleared. A couple of incidents on the turnpike. Of course, the outer roadway shut for maintenance. That's every night. Now on the southbound side, though, up at 14 on the outer roadway, a disabled tractor trailer. That's off on the shoulder. And then Route 46 as you come eastbound. This is Netcon. Just east of Route 206, all lanes are closed with a crash there. Mass transit right now, at least, right on or close to schedule. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations again today are going to be in effect. And this report is a service of Napa Auto Parts, whether it's offering curbside or next day delivery on online orders on over 160,000 parts or getting involved in the local communities. When it comes to serving you, Napa's motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
5:50, it is 65 degrees. Coming up in just a minute, more record-breaking heat somewhere. I'll tell you where. This is the WABC Early News, straight ahead.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
10 minutes before 6 o'clock, this is the WABC Early News. Well, Tuesday is the final day of voting in this year's primary elections. Obviously, the big race on the ballot this year is the race for mayor with both Democrat and Republican primaries. But there's a lot of other races, a lot of competitive city council primaries around the city. And in Staten Island, there's a competitive borough president's race for the Republican side and the Democratic side, as a matter of fact. In Manhattan, you have a district attorney's race in which we had a terrific debate yesterday moderated by Dominic Carter. If you didn't get a chance to hear that, go to WABCradio.com. You can listen to the podcast. But yesterday, the city's campaign finance board doled out another round of payments to some candidates. Now, a couple of interesting numbers here. Sean Donovan got $184,000. Eric Adams got $318,000. Scott Stringer, $326,000. Maya Wiley got a badly needed dose of cash, $1.1 million. Catherine Garcia got a whopping $2.1 million for the home stretch. So you can be betting you'll see a lot of Catherine Garcia commercials over the next few days. And For the first time, a Republican has qualified for matching funds. That Republican is Fernando Mateo, receiving $2,033,918 yesterday. So we'll see what effect that money has with only 4 days left before the primary. Fernando Mateo was here last night recording a commercial, which he's going to be airing here on WABC. So at least some of that radio interview, excuse me, some of that money will be spent right here on WABC. And 50 million people are bracing for a seventh straight day of dangerous and deadly heat. The West has been baking in triple digits with no relief. In Arizona, Phoenix hit a boiling point of 118 degrees. That was 4 degrees hotter than the old record, and temperatures won't fall under 110 until Monday. Las Vegas also broke a record, hitting 114. The heat wave is still taking a toll on California as well, which is now under a state of emergency due to the strain on the energy grid. A 14-year-old girl in Florida will be tried as an adult for allegedly shooting at deputies. Police say she and a 12-year-old boy ran away from a foster home and broke into a house that had guns inside. Both kids are accused of opening fire when deputies arrived. Police say they didn't want to fire back but ended up shooting the girl when she refused to drop her weapon. Prosecutors say it's possible for her to still be sentenced as a juvenile. And in Ohio, a police officer is on leave after running over a shooting victim. Dash cam video shows her arriving on scene in Springfield and hitting Eric Cole. He was lying in the street bleeding from his right arm Sunday night. Police say it was an accident, claiming the officer didn't see him, but Cole's family isn't so sure. They say they weren't even told right away he'd been struck. The 42-year-old died a few hours later in a hospital. And President Donald Trump is still having some legal issues. A Texas judge ruled that former President Donald Trump must repay a debt still owed to the city of El Paso, Texas. El Paso County Judge Ricardo Samaniego says the Trump campaign still owes $560,000 for expenses related to a rally in 2019. He's urging Governor Greg Abbott to collect the money from the former president when he visits the border later this month. The initial bill was about $470,000, but a collection fee added almost $90,000 to the total. And there was a fire in Brooklyn. Thankfully, it seems to be under control. Firefighters say they've finally doused a huge blaze that ripped through a commercial mixed-use building in East Flatbush, Brooklyn, overnight. From the building on Church Avenue, flames and smoke from the building on Church Avenue could be seen for miles. There's no word of any injuries. The huge building houses offices, a restaurant, a karate studio, and a tire store. There's no word on what ignited the fire. We'll keep you posted as more details emerged. In Long Island, we're keeping an eye on several stories out there, including calls for the Nassau County Police Chief to resign. We'll tell you all about that. And a Chick-fil-A employee is getting their car. A Chick-fil-A employee is getting their car back after two Farmingdale residents allegedly took the keys. It was last month when an employee left their keys on a table in the restaurant and another employee asked Jeffrey Dowling and Stacy Basso if they were theirs. They said yes and took off with the car from the location on Broad Hallow Road. Cops say the pair had drugs on them when they were arrested yesterday, while the car was recovered in Melville and returned to the owner. Suffolk County is bringing back its Catholic Health-sponsored marathon post-coronavirus pandemic. It went virtual last year. The race goes across the Great South Bay and honors veteran organizations in this region. Officials announced yesterday the event will kick off in Babylon on the morning of October 24th. I'll have more on that Nassau police chief in just a minute. But first, here's traffic and transit on the 7s with Joe Nolan.
All right, Frankie, southbound or make that westbound on the southern state, approaching Route 111. Again, car off the roadway into a tree. That's in the process of being cleared now. If you're coming southbound on the drive, south of 14th Street, disabled in the left lane. You want to get over to the right. Jersey Turnpike, we still have that disabled truck on the outer roadway coming down to Interchange 14. Bronx River Parkway, southbound at Pelham Parkway, there's a crash. Also on the Spring, northbound at 100B. That continues. And then eastbound Route 46, out there in the western part of New Jersey, coming into Route 206, all lanes are closed with a crash. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations again today are going to be in effect. And like I said, Mass Transit seems to be in pretty good shape. A couple of trains on the North Jersey coastline, but nothing really overly horrible. This support of service of Indeed.com, not to be a backseat driver, but if you need to hire great people fast, you need Indeed. Sponsor a job and you'll immediately get a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. More at Indeed.com/credit. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77. WABC.
Thank you, Joe.
Yep.
As I was saying, there are new calls for the Nassau County Police Commissioner, Patrick Ryder, to resign. Civil rights and police fraternal groups called for Ryder's exit over comments he made in a Newsday interview that linked the county's failure to hire more Black and Hispanic police officers to the prospective job candidates coming from broken homes. Thus far, Mr. Ryder has shown no indication that he plans to resign. We'll keep an eye on that story and bring you any updates as they unfold. Well, good news for you. Sid Rosenberg is in the building. He will give us a preview of what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show. Christian Arnold will do one more sportscast. I've got some more business news coming your way. And Deb Valentine will have all the latest local and national news in just a minute. But first, an NYPD cop is recovering after he was hit by a bullet in the neck at a Bronx shooting range yesterday. Police say, actually, it was Tuesday. Police say the bullet that hit the officer at the Rodman Next outdoor range ricocheted off something. The cop, who was at the range for his annual firearms registration, was standing about 25 yards away from the targets when he was hit. He was taken to Jacoby Hospital, where he was listed in stable condition. A whole bunch more news coming your way in just a minute. I'm Frank Moreno. This is the WABC Early News. Bernie and Sid coming up at 6:30. This is the Early News straight ahead.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Moreno.
6:04, this is the WABC Early News. Juliet Huddy is off today. She'll be off all next week as she visits Italy. I'm Frank Moreno, doing my best to hold down the fort. Bernie and Sid coming up at 6:30. We'll check in with Sid in about 10 minutes, get a preview of what's on the Bernie and Sid show. Yesterday, WABC hosted the last major debate for Manhattan District Attorney before the Democratic primary Tuesday. All eight candidates were present, and things got pretty heated, including when Liz Crotty, the candidate endorsed by most of the law enforcement unions, responded to some of the criticisms of her to some of the other candidates that were present.
The color of change, when they asked for do not prosecute lists, I was the only one who didn't have one because I don't think that's the way to be the district attorney. Tali come lately over here has decided, oh, now I don't have a do not prosecute list.
Not surprisingly, Ms. Weinstein responded in kind. Well, voting is going on right now, early voting, and the primary takes place Tuesday. If you want to find out where you should vote, you can go to the Board of Elections website. You can also call 212-VOTE-NYC. The boss is back. Bruce Springsteen will revive his one-man show on Broadway next Saturday. It will just be Springsteen, his guitar, a piano, and tales of his career, much like his previous Broadway show in 2017, which ran for more than 230 performances. If you plan to go, you must be vaccinated and show proof of vaccination. Anyone under 16 is exempt, but must be accompanied by an adult who has been vaccinated and show proof they've tested negative for COVID. So that is certainly going to be a hot ticket on Broadway. You better believe that. And an Ohio police officer is on leave after running over a shooting victim who later died. Dash cam video showing her arriving on scene and hitting Eric Cole in the street. Police say it was an accident, but Cole's family says they didn't even know at first he had been struck. You can bet there's going to be an investigation into precisely what happened there. Well, current Texas Senator Ted Cruz had some interesting comments on the possibility of Matthew McConaughey running for governor. He's not underestimating McConaughey. In a radio interview with nationally syndicated host Hugh Hewitt, the Republican senator called the Oscar-winning actor a formidable candidate should he decide to run for governor of the Lone Star State. Cruz noted he respects McConaughey on a personal level, but he hopes he doesn't put his name on the ticket. McConaughey has said publicly he's been floating the idea of running for office, possibly including governor of Texas. At 6:07, let's check in with Joe Nolan, who's got traffic and transit on the 7s. Hey there, Joe.
All right, Frank, we got a new one. This on the southbound side of the New York State Thruway, just south of the 287 split in Suffern. There is an accident. Two lanes are out of service on the Thruway as you come southbound to 287 up there in Suffern. Westbound Southern State coming into Route 111. Car went off the roadway, went into a tree, so that might be there a while. Drive southbound at 14th Street. Look for a stall in the left lane. And on Route 46 in New Jersey, eastbound, just east of Route 206, all lanes are closed. That collision continues. Mass transit's in good shape. Alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations again today are in effect. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Well, Eric Adams, who by most polls was already considered the front runner in the race for mayor, picked up a couple of big endorsements yesterday. He was endorsed by former New York State Governor David Paterson, who you can frequently hear on this radio station where he's a regular contributor, and Assemblyman Keith Wright, who has served as the chairman of the Manhattan Democratic Party. He has indicated that he was grateful for Governor Paterson's support. He and Governor Paterson served together in the New York State Senate. And a day after the final Democratic debate in the New York City mayor's race, Andrew Yang faced criticism over his comments about people with mental illness when saying last night that he wanted homeless people off the street. He's been criticized not only by his opponents, but by some groups that benefit people who have mental illness. Hundreds of West Village residents packed an emergency meeting yesterday to vent about disorder in Washington Square Park, as police promised to take a stronger hand in enforcing against loud parties and drug use. Complaints have gone through the roof in Washington Square Park, and so far, police attempts at quelling the chaos in Washington Square Park, including the implementation of a curfew, have seemed to do little to bring an end to the chaos. In her mayoral run, Maya Wiley has highlighted her stint as New York City's head of police watchdog agency, the CCRB, and its role in the 2019 firing of Daniel Pantaleo. But a review of her time there paints a more complicated picture of her actions in that case. The New York Times reporting that it is not exactly as cut and dry as Ms. Wiley makes it seem, which is leading to some of her opponents, including Scott Stringer and Diana Morales, criticizing her role in that case. The fireworks celebrating the administering of at least one dose of the COVID vaccine to 70% of adult New Yorkers might be premature, with a highly contagious variant spreading through an unevenly vaccinated public. This is all about the Delta variant, and there are some concerns that the Delta variant may be somewhat resistant to vaccination, and it remains to be seen whether we're going to see the kind of resurgence of the virus due to this Delta variant in New York that we've seen in England. Juneteenth is now a federal holiday, but New York City workers will not get a paid day off, as Mayor de Blasio had promised. De Blasio last year announced that Juneteenth would be an official holiday, but municipal employees found out Tuesday they wouldn't get the day off because it needed to go through the labor unions, and those talks never happened. Meanwhile, Mayor de Blasio announced yesterday the city would commemorate Juneteenth by offering college savings accounts for all kindergarten students and CUNY scholarships for black and low-income New Yorkers. Juneteenth, which President Biden signed into law yesterday, marks the end of slavery, and it is now a state holiday and a federal holiday, but they are still working to get the I's dotted and the T's crossed in terms of making it a New York City holiday. So far, Mayor de Blasio has not endorsed in the race for mayor, and neither has New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. Senator Gillibrand putting out a statement yesterday indicating that she will not be making a pick in the race for mayor. Remains to be seen what effect, that, if any, that will have on the mayor's race. A Detroit-born journalist is going to have to spend two additional weeks in a prison in Myanmar. Former Myanmar managing editor Danny Fenster was arrested May 24th. Frontier Myanmar managing editor Danny Fenster was arrested May 24th while waiting to fly home to surprise his parents. He's been charged under Section 505A of the country's penal code. The new law was instituted in February, and Frontier Myanmar says it's a frequently used tactic against journalists, activists, and social media users that the military government feels are a threat. Fenster's due back in court July 1st, but no one has given a reason for his arrest or the exact charge. Now, today is actually election day in Iran, but don't expect much drama in the race for president because all of the major opposition candidates have been prohibited from running. An Iranian hardliner who has been hand-selected by the supreme leader of Iran appears to be the overwhelming favorite. Most of the other opposition candidates and more moderate candidates were disqualified by the Supreme Allied Commander and his leadership commander or leadership council. So now an ultra conservative judiciary chief appears to have the only real chance of winning after a council of powerful clerics disqualified virtually all the other viable candidates. So there does not appear to be much drama in today's election, as it looks like the overwhelming favorite, barring a major upset, will be Ebrahim Raisi, who is expected to take a much more hard-line position than the current Iranian president, Hassan Rouhani. And Russian President Vladimir Putin is praising President Biden as professional following their summit in Geneva. While not much came out of the summit, both men agreed to continue talking and agreed to restoration of diplomatic relations between the two countries. It is 64 degrees. We'll have sports with Christian Arnold in just a minute. But HBO Max subscribers are getting strange emails from the company. Many last night reported getting a message from HBO Max with the subject line, integration test email number one. The message inside said, this template is used by integration tests only. There were no attachments, but some wondered if it was a data breach. Most assumed it was just some sort of a mistake. Some on Twitter were left wondering if there was a new show on HBO Max called integration test email number one. HBO Max says it was in fact a mistake and that an intern sent out the wrong message, so no need to read much into it. Multiple women are taking Pornhub to court. On Thursday, a lawsuit was filed by over 30 women against the site's parent company, MindGeek, for allegedly displaying videos without their permission. The suit noted the company became the world's leading site in the industry by utilizing that type of material. Pornhub put out a statement denying the allegations, calling them absurd, completely reckless, and categorically false. Well, you won't hear anything categorically false from Christian Arnold as he tells us what's happening in sports.
Oh, thank you, Frank. I actually got one of those HBO emails as well last night.
Interesting.
Which was bizarre, for sure. Also bizarre, the Yankees pulling off their second triple play of the season in their 8-4 win over the Blue Jays up in Buffalo. It's the first time in franchise history that New York has turned two triple plays in 1 year. Chad Green picking up the win out of the bullpen. Giancarlo Stanton hitting the go-ahead home run in the seventh inning, as the Yankees. Again, they beat the Blue Jays 8-4. The Mets, they weren't as lucky. They fall to the Chicago Cubs 2-0. Marcus Stroman, he pitched eight strikeouts and gave up 2 runs in 7 frames for the Mets. New York has won 6 of its last 8 games, while the Cubs, they snapped a 3-game slide. New York is now 35-26. Playoff sports, basketball, hockey in action last night. We'll start in Milwaukee here. The Nets, they're headed to a Game 7 after the Bucks force one with a 104-89 win in Game 6 last night. Kevin Durant leading the way for the Nets with 32 points in the loss. James Harden adding 16 points of his own. Game 7 here in New York at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn on Saturday night. A win sends the Nets to the Eastern Conference Finals. The Islanders, they couldn't handle the Tampa Bay Lightning last night in a 2-1 loss. Cal Clutterbuck, the only Islanders goal scorer in the game. Semyon Varlamov making 23 saves in the loss. Game 4 is on Long Island at the Nassau Coliseum on Saturday. Mets back in action tonight. They take on the Washington Nationals. Yankees host the Oakland Athletics at the stadium. Frank, it will be the first time this season that the Bombers will have full capacity at Yankee Stadium in the Bronx. Sports brought to you by Peerless Boilers. They do build America's best boilers. PavilionTankless.com, PavilionBoilers.com. With sports every 15 and 45, I'm Christian Arnold for the 77 WABC Early News.
Thank you, Christian. 617. Let's check in with Joe Nolan, who's got traffic and transit on the 7s.
All right, Frank. Southbound New York State Thruway, just south of the split for 287. There is apparently an accident and suffering. 3 lanes are going to be blocked as you head southbound through there. Southern State westbound Route 111, one car went off the roadway and apparently went into a tree. Unfortunately, they're working on that. Drive southbound 14th Street, disabled left lane. Now on Route 46, on the eastbound side out in Netcong, at 206, all lanes are closed. Again, a collision there. And alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations again today are going to be in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
618, we're going to check in with Sid Rosenberg, find out what's happening in the world of Bernie and Sid world. But at 64 degrees, it is interesting to watch what's happening in the world of business. Wall Street had a mixed day yesterday, with the NASDAQ rising 121, the Dow down 210, the S&P 500 just about evening, losing 2 points. In-home genetic testing company 23andMe is a winner on its first day of public trading. The company went public through a merger with a Richard Branson SPAC in a deal that raised close to $600 million and valued 23andMe at $3.5 billion. It's trading on the NASDAQ under the ticker symbol ME. The United States Mint is adding to the list of women to be featured on quarters. Recently, the Bureau announced Wilma Mankiller, Adelina Otero Warren, and Anna Mae Wong will be highlighted in the American Women Quarters program. Others being represented are Maya Angelou and Dr. Sally Ride. The coins are set to be released next year. That's what's happening in business. Well, making his way into the studio for the first time this morning is Sid Rosenberg. Hello there, Sid.
Good morning, Frankie. How are you, handsome bastard?
I am doing just fine. To what do we owe the lateness of your arrival today?
You know, I can come up with 3 or 4 different excuses, but the truth is, I was just tired.
All right.
Hey. I need to get some a little more R&R, and we've got such a great, capable bench here, Christopher Arnold especially.
And Christian.
And Christian Arnold, that's right. They're both great. They're twins. And so I knew we'd be in good hands, and I decided I'm going to sleep an extra hour.
Wonderful. Yeah. Good. Well, you look well-rested for it.
I do?
Yeah.
Well, I'm tan, so you really can't.
That's true.
I'm exhausted, but I'm tan, so.
Fair enough.
Like, people who are not tan, when they look tired, they're black circles under the
you're
eyes.
Right. You're right. That's me.
I don't have that. No, you look great. Actually, you look really handsome today.
Well, you're very kind.
You got a tie on, a beautiful blue shirt.
Thank you very much, yes. What's coming up on the Bernie and Sid Show today?
Carol Miller is here, West Virginia congresswoman, and we'll talk to her. I'm sure Joe Manchin will come up at some point.
I thought when you told me during the commercial that Carol Miller was here, I thought you meant the DJ, Carol Miller.
You know what's funny? You bring up Carol Miller, the DJ. When I started my career in New York, it was in 2000, I came to New York with a guy named Scott Kaplan. He got fired, and he was replaced by a guy named Craig Carden. But the station I started at in New York, 2000, 1 year before WFAN, was WNEW-FM, 102.7. And that was the legendary rock station in this town where Carol Miller, Scott Muni, the Nears, all those people worked. So when I hear the name Carol Miller, I automatically, like you, go to 102.7 WNEW, 2 for Tuesday with Scott Muni. But no, this is a congresswoman out of West
got
Virginia.
Got it. So we got Carol Miller.
Yes. We have your friend from Red Carpet Rendezvous, Lauren Conlon.
Ah, yes.
A lot going on in the entertainment world these days, including, I guess, Kim Kardashian reached out to former New Jersey Net basketball star Chris Humphries many times after she divorced him after 72 days, and he wanted no part of it. That seems to be a big entertainment story today. And certainly J-Lo and Ben Affleck are still very big. And then we'll talk to the voice of the New York Yankees, brand new book coming out today, and that is from the Yes Network, and also afternoons on ESPN Radio in New York, our good friend Michael Kay.
Love Michael Kay. And as I say that as a Met fan, a great guy.
Great guy.
Happens to be Danny Aiello's nephew.
That's true.
And married to my friend Jody Applegate.
Jody Applegate is your friend. Although, funny stories about Danny Aiello when he was alive, talking about the New Jersey Nets and Chris Humphries, he loved the Nets. And I lived in Tenafly, New Jersey. Ian Eagle, the voice of the Nets, a good friend of mine. And they had those Jason Kidd teams that went to back-to-back NBA finals.
Right.
They lost them both. They lost to San Antonio. They lost to Kobe and Shaq and the Lakers. But Danny would be there almost every night, and I would sit with Danny. And he was so excited to see me, and I would say, Danny, your nephew is Michael Kay. And he would look at me straight in the face and say, so what? He ain't no Sid Rosenberg. I've told Kay that story about 100 times.
That's why Danny Aiello was so great. It's certainly going to be interesting. In terms of this weekend's Father's Day, what do you got planned for Father's Day?
The beach. You know, I put down a lot of money and joined this beach club in Atlantic Beach, right by Bernie's house, Catalina Beach Club. So right now it's supposed to be 85 and sunny. So I'm probably going to go to the beach. My daughter Ava leaves today for the summer. She's gone till the end of August. Very emotional couple of days in my house.
Where's she going?
She's
going
to start off in South Carolina with the boyfriend and the family for 10 days quarantine. Then she goes straight from South Carolina to Pennsylvania, where she's a counselor this summer, and then straight from Pennsylvania to London. So I won't see Ava till like Labor Day weekend.
Wow.
Yeah, so she leaves today.
She leave the day after Father's Day?
I know, right? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, she's like, I feel guilty, but... What?
But I'm still leaving.
Leaving. I'm gone. So
now you chose to get a beach membership all the way on Long Island, even though you're in Manhattan. I mean, that's a hike, isn't it? For you?
Well, there's no beach memberships in Manhattan.
I know, but you got Brooklyn, right?
You have Brooklyn. I don't know what clubs are in Brooklyn.
You got Long Island. Long Island. You got Queens with Breezy Point and Rockaway.
Well, it's right there, though.
I see.
Atlantic Beach is like right there. And you know, I've been looking to buy a house not Breezy Point. What's the other one? Bell Harbor.
For years.
My friend Mike Sullivan, Brennan and Carter's in Breezy Point. So this is right there, right in that area.
Gotcha.
I could have gone to Jersey, I guess, but without a house on the Jersey Shore, it's more difficult. So Long Island it is. There you have it.
I learned something listening to you and Bernie yesterday.
That's impossible.
No, I did. I learned mostly due to Bernie.
Yeah.
But he informed us when you admitted that even though you live in New York City, and even though New York is about to elect the mayor that will help us solve or worsen all of the five crises that we're dealing with right now.
It's definitely it's the latter.
You actually vote in Boca Raton, Florida?
That's correct. Yeah.
That is outrageous.
It is outrageous. Here I am on the top political news talk station in the world.
Commenting on the mayor's race.
Correct.
Daily.
And not going to vote.
Yeah.
Because I can only
crazy.
Vote in Boca Raton, Florida. I never changed it. I got a lot to do, Frank. I don't have time for all this stuff.
Sid, I would have brought you a form. It takes 8 seconds.
Well, bring the form today.
Well, it's too late. You have to change 28 days in advance.
Oh, okay. Well, Tuesday's the primary.
Right.
But why can't I vote then in the actual election in November if you can help me?
You can.
Well, bring the form.
I will.
Like, I got to watch the Nets. I got to watch the Mets. I got to go to the gym. I got a lot going on.
You do. You certainly do. It's not easy being
I got to tan. I got to work out.
Our program director, Dave Labrosi, also not voting in New York City.
He can vote in Pittsburgh, though.
That's
kind
right.
of exciting.
It is. But I'm just – everyone wonders, how do these guys get elected in New York? And we know the answer is because all the people that would vote for other people are registered elsewhere.
Well, that's not the answer because there's a heck of a lot of New Yorkers that live here, can vote here, and just decide not to. That's the answer.
Now, I saw that that your friend Fernando Mateo received $2 million yesterday in matching funds.
Yeah.
Will he be retaining you as a consultant with some of those fees?
No, I think he's going to Puerto Rico over the weekend.
Ha 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 ha!
No, I think he's going to lose to Curtis. But, you know, again, I think it's all academic. I hate to say it.
But if you're going to lose, it's nice to lose with an extra $2 million.
Oh, there's no question.
On something.
Look, like I said
those
yesterday.
Those consultants are going to have a good time.
Agreed. Like I said yesterday, and I got a text from Wendy Williams, who was listening to the show, and she agreed as well. Both of us will be floored. I mean floored if Eric Adams is not the next mayor. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear
well,
about Yang, Wiley, Garcia.
Certainly the favorite.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to win. He should win, so.
Yeah. Lastly, you told me that the first lady of our radio station, Margot Katsimatidis, is actually going to be throwing out the first pitch at the Cyclones game on Thursday?
That is correct. I believe it's Greek Heritage Night.
Oh.
And Margot will be throwing out the first pitch. He's excited about it. John will be there, Chan, I'm sure, me, a host of others. Thursday night, Coney Island, Brooklyn, not far from his beautiful Ocean Towers, Ocean Drive, John. Margot Katsimatidis throwing out the first pitch on a beautiful Thursday night in Coney Island.
Wonderful. That will be a lot of fun. Had I been invited to that, I might have attended myself.
I just invited you.
Thank you.
This conversation brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Borders. Check them out, peerlessborders.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build, Frankie, America's best borders.
Hey, stay tuned for the Bernie and Sid show. Bernie has some great insights. Sid has some great wit. Carol Miller, not the DJ, will be on, as will Lauren Conlon with a whole bunch of entertainment news. Have a great weekend. Michael Kay on as well. Joe Nolan's got traffic. Take care.
Going to be fun to hear Michael Kay. New York State Thruway southbound at 287. The split again and suffering an accident. Two lanes are out. Westbound on the Southern State coming into Route 111. A car into a tree. And then eastbound on the LIE at Jericho Turnpike. There is an accident. Southbound on the drive at 14th Street. Disabled left lane. That's in both directions. The left lane out. Eastbound Route 46. East of Route 206. All lanes are closed there with a collision. Also on the Springbrook Parkway northbound at Route 100. Again, an accident off on the shoulder. Now, Mass Transit pretty much on or close to schedule. A couple of trains here and there that are late. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations again today are going to be in effect. In the support of service of Liberty Mutual, no one should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Visit LibertyMutual.com to learn more. I'm Joe Nolan. Traffic on the 7s. Talk Radio 77 WABC.